This is ensemble member Yasin Piankov, and you are listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm speaking today with ensemble member Bob Brewer. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good.
You are currently in rehearsal for the Steppenwolf for Young Adults production of Mice and Men,
right,
the adaptation of the Steinbeck novel. And you are just about a week away from moving into the theater for tech rehearsals. Mm-hmm. So you guys have been in the rehearsal hall now for a couple weeks.
You're right.
Yeah.
This is the third week, I think.
Mm-hmm. The third week.
We go in next week.
And so your point in the rehearsal now where you're doing run-throughs of the play.
Right.
And the story is sort of emerging.
Yes.
You play Carlson.
Yep.
And what is his exact position on the ranch? This is the ranch that George and Lenny, of course, you know, have sort of come to at the beginning of the story to find a new place to work, to escape their past.
Right. They come from a very sad and horrible past, that something has happened down the road that I won't talk about now, that has driven them to this point. And all along in this time, in the 30s, 36, of course, there were guys riding the rails and walking with their bindle sticks and their, you know, bed rolls, and people, you know, went from job to job, and they would go from ranch to ranch. And so when the trouble came in one ranch, or you got kicked off, or you just left for better chances down the road, you would go down and get off. And sometimes you'd go to San Francisco and pick up a job. They had boards, and you'd say, oh, here's a ranch in Southern California that needs, you know, buckers, they call them, guys who take the alfalfa or the grain or whatever it is, put it in the bags and throw it on the trucks, the mule-driven wagons and so forth.
It's a heavy manual labor.
Right. Yeah. They're all matter of guys, you know, all matter of ages, and, you know. They don't make a whole lot of money. And one character in the play has lost a hand in the threshing machine. You know, so there's all sorts of tough things going on in the trail. And Lenny and George show up. Carlson is a strong, tough guy, and, you know, he's been at the job for quite a while, and he has a problem with the old guy's dog, who's getting old and smelly, and so he wants to get him kicked out, and which relates to the larger story of Lenny and George.
Yeah. So there's the owner of the ranch.
The boss.
And then Carlson has been a kind of long-standing senior level employee. So it's interesting because as these men enter these new situations, there are sort of established hierarchies, and they have to spend, you know, the beginning of their time there figuring out a lot of those dynamics, observing, knowing, you know, who it's safe to confide in, who you know, give a sort of a wide berth to.
Right. It's also part of the deal is most of the people travel alone. Now, that's the strange thing about Lenny and George, because they come together.
Yeah.
That very seldom happens. It's a lonely, I'm on the road all by myself kind of world. And here come into this particular ranch two men together. And it sort of throws things a little haywire.
People are suspicious of it, aren't they?
They question it all the time. How come you two are together? Are you protecting him? Are you taking his money? Or what is going on, George, that's the more together guy? You're using him, or what is it? So there's always suspicion. And there's, inside of the bunkhouse itself, there's, you know, strata of behavior and who's in control and who's on the bottom and all that sort of thing. And into there come these two strangers.
Yeah.
And a peaceful working situation is changed.
Mm-hmm. And also recently into this group, it seems, a woman has arrived.
Yeah. That's another issue, yeah.
So even before Lenny and George arrive, things have been thrown slightly into a kind of disorder.
The boss's son, his name is Curly, His wife, who is called Curly's wife, she does not have a name, has been recently married. And it's not good to have a woman there with 30 or 40 guys. What you see in the play is one bunkhouse. It's a big, huge, corporate-owned ranch, you know, that
Bucks Barley. Segregated, notably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1936, yeah. There's a fellow in the character named Crooks who has to live separated to a little shed or a lean-to next to the barn, and so there's that kind of thing. And so with men there and one woman, and she's kind of a flirt and not really, she's just lonely. Everybody in the play is kind of lonely. It's a play of people going through life, you know, by themselves without connection. And so that's why Lenny and George are strange, because they're connected, you come to find out why, but in the course of the play. Yeah. But it's unusual that someone, that would happen, yeah.
I find so touching, too, having watched the run through today, is the fact that all of these people, you know, there are sort of two things that they seem to be sharing. One is the reinvention of self, right? With the arrival at a new place, you can sort of reinvent yourself, mm-hmm. your past, your history, but then also this kind of renewing the dream, you know, renewing the vision of the dream.
Right.
And even, you know, even Curly's wife has this this vision of a future, of a, you know, a past she wants to let go of and reinvent herself.
Very few people are just continue the thought, are living, they're working in the present, but the past is constantly on their mind, and the future, the dream of where they want to be. Some of the men in the bunkhouse dream about having a ranch of their own, which is one of the pipe dreams in the O'Neill sense, you know, that everybody has who goes there. They want a ranch of their own. They want to raise cattle and chickens, and you know, that's what everybody wants. The realists, and my character is one of them, has no dream at all. You know, he's just there to work and carry on. But everybody else pretty much is dreaming, wants a different world.
And as you say, even a family forms that, you know, a family forms around a specific dream, right? Yeah. I mean, there's shared vision and resources, right. And this idea that if disparate people pull together, that's attainable.
Yeah. Who invests this amount of money? It's saved. The fellow who lost his arm has a disability that they gave him for losing the arm. And, you know, so he's got a little chunk of money. Mm-hmm. And he'll give that in for the possibility of getting the dream. They even involve the Crooks, who is the African American guy in the story. He hears about it. He says, you know, what about an old crippled guy like me? I could work in the, for you there. And so yeah, that could be part of the dream.
Yeah. Which is so powerful, right? Because it's actually a vision for America as well, is this idea that a home, a land, a territory can be shared in a way that is not permissible on the ranch currently.
Yeah. Well, because it's corporately structured.
Yeah.
And the boss is there, and he's making sure that everything runs smoothly and that nobody is together.
Right.
If you remember back to Grapes of Wrath that we did here some thousand years ago, there, that was one of the issues in that. It was, if we keep these men and women apart from each other, if we keep them on the highway, not connecting to each other, it's better for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets, keep those two squatting men apart was one of the songs that Michael wrote, you know, which is a line from Steinbeck. And that's one of his themes in almost everything he writes, especially these two plays.
Yeah. So now you're going to have about another week in the rehearsal hall, and then you're going to move over to the theater for tech rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And of course, both The Tempest and Of Mice and Men share the stage. It's a pretty exciting space right now in the downstairs theater. And then you'll be performing weekday matinees for students and then weekend performances for the public.
Adults, right.
Yeah.
And you have to admire the designers here who have designed Of Mice and Men, because they're given a space, given an area that's already designed, and they have to incorporate what they, how they see the picture. This is what technical rehearsals are about. When the actors come together with all the tech people, now we're going to do the show, and we bring everybody's influence in, the lighting man, the costumer, you know, we bring all that together. Now we're going to tell the story fully lit, fully clothed. Not that we were running around naked, but, you know, in the costumes that we're going to be wearing. And but this show has its own, has a space of another show. So it has to come in and work within those confines and tell the story. And that's what the tech rehearsals are about. This next week is interesting because, I'll very briefly say, it's because everybody is, tomorrow is off book, which in the theater means that your lines should now be memorized. And it's a very devastating day and awful in a lot of ways because you're just thrown out there. Although people have been walking around with the script out of their hand, but they, you know, asking for line, please, you know, and the stage management, God bless their souls, will throw the line in so you can continue to tell the story. Tomorrow is the day that that's it. We're supposed to have it memorized.
Well, having observed today, I think you're all in very good shape.
So next week is a week of, like, shaping it and honing it.
Then you get to share it with an audience.
That's right.
Yeah. Truly looking forward to
the final stage.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Oh, no problem,
today.
Yeah.
And if you'd like more information about the Steppenwolf for Young Adults production of Mice and Men, you can visit the website at www.steppenwolf.org. AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.